Rome, 1987. We walked up the Aventine to our son's school, his happiness reaching out to us like a flower. For 9 months, he had lived here, learning how proud he was of his Italian and that he looked like an Italian in his leather jacket. He'd become Italian since he'd left us. He was fluent, so filled with the language that carried us through Via Reggio, Pietrasanta, Firenze, Venezia, Siena, Roma. When the Carabinieri found him lying by the Tiber that morning, they even thought he was Italian, an Italian drug addict. They pushed up the sleeves of his leather jacket looking for tracks. What did they do with our boy then? Did they put him into an ambulance? Take him to a pronto soccorso? No. That would have been for saving a life. By then, it was our lives that needed saving. Dear Jeffrey, my dead son, on May 8th, 1987, I sat on the deck of our house in Connecticut. I had on my purple bikini, trying to replenish my tan from the Amalfi Coast. Later in the day, I bumped into a friend at the bank, told her what a wonderful time we'd had with you in Rome. I was full of stories, the Vatican beer can openers, the ones with pictures of the Pope. The Italian you and I practiced each day until I was good enough to order coffee on my own. Per piacere, espresso doppio. I hummed as I made the same tomato sauce with mussels we'd had together in Trastevere for dinner the last night. Then we watched the news hour. They had an essay about Mother's Day. Oh yes, Mother's Day was that Sunday. You would still be in Rome. I would miss you, but I knew you were happy there. Your father, always up before me, answered the phone the next morning. You were dying while we slept. How could I not have known it? I can still see him so vividly, gray-faced, in his blue and green bathrobe with a chewed-up hem, holding the phone to his ear, the black lab circling her empty dish. I catch a glimpse of the last sunny morning of my life, and then... I see you lying by the Tiber, dead. 4 trees down by Ponte Sisto. No, I screamed to my husband. Yes, he said. Yes. Here, you call. He walked very slowly away from the counter. I picked up the phone, dialed the number, pushing the buttons hard and fast. A man's voice answered, American Embassy. My husband just talked to you, I said. From Connecticut, you told him a lie, so now I'm calling you back for the truth, please. The truth. Madam, I am so sorry. Your son found at 8:10 this morning in Trastevere by the Ponte Sisto, lying in the weeds. No, you have made a terrible mistake. It is somebody else's son. Madam, he has been identified. American student. All his papers. Student ID in his wallet. His wallet in his pocket. No, not him. You don't understand. He can't be dead. We just visited him a week ago. He was supposed to call this morning. Madam, the embassy regrets. All papers will be sent. The police will bring them. No, no, no. I am not crying. I am writing, found by the Tiber on a yellow legal pad. I must have hung up the phone, but I don't remember. The man, my husband, on the other side of the room, does not look like anyone I know. His face is gray, twisted. I do not yet know that I do not look like the woman who was sipping coffee 10 minutes ago and will never look like her again. My hair is turning gray. Police come? No. Relatives are called? No. No. They all say it too. So many people, and all I remember is saying, no. Not you. Not Jeffrey. Not him. Not here. Not there. No. Always and forever, no. It gets quieter, but it never sleeps.
On the morning of May 9th, 1987, the body of a youth was found on the lower embankment of the River Tiber near Ponte Sisto. The corpse lay close to the base of the wall of the Lungo Tevere, a street that flanks the River Tiber. The body was taken to the city morgue at 1:40 p.m. on May 9th, 1987. He was an American student in Rome for study purposes.
It's the night of the day my son died, and I'm spreading out the photos of our last trip together, spreading them out all over the dining room table, desperate to find him among the cafes and gardens, looking for him everywhere, among the churches and museums. I have to find his smile. I'm wild with wanting to see his smile, but I can only find two snapshots of him, and he is not smiling. How can my son not be smiling? Does he know something? Something I don't know? I forage in cabinets, closets, drawers for more family albums, loose plastic bags full of likenesses, everything scattered over couches and chairs. I'm as feverish as a gambler pushing at the night, wanting to win, oh, wanting to win, crowding out grief with desire. That's why I have to find the picture, the one of him smiling, the one that will tell me the dead can forgive.
Long ago it must be, I have a photograph.
My husband loves me. He says he does. He whispers in the dark, undercover. The sheets are white with blue stripes. They may be the same sheets we slept on the night the birds sang 10 years ago. Have you ever heard birds sing during the night? I did. The day my son died. You see, I could not sleep. Sleep was impossible. Closing the eyes made too many movies, birthday parties, the sheen of his hair, his red pants at 8th grade graduation, his round glasses, brown suede bucks, backpack, his little bear. Now he's falling, screaming through the air. My husband wanted to come inside me, find comfort in his wife's house. He couldn't sleep either. I said yes, but my house is broken, and there was really no room, and I had no juice. And I wanted nothing but the child I could not have. I could feel the heart being carved from my ribs, the hair shafts shooting up gray. My mind leaked all known language. The purity of want filled the empty space, spread tentacles to stripped skeleton. My husband was heavy on me. No comfort in our joining, only memory of making the dead child. I was dry, juice drained by the carving. You don't get up when you haven't slept. It just goes on, the phantom pumping, the cells dividing, the kidneys cleaning sugar out of the blood. Friends put food into an imagined mouth. They want you to keep moving. Let's walk, they say. They pray for grace or time or hiding. They do not know. You are not there. Morning finally comes, with more moments of knowing. He was found by the Tiber, dead. I stare at hangers filled with clothes, reach for some, and pack for Rome. there are planes and taxis. In the taxi, on the way to the morgue, I hold on to my husband's hand for dear life. The years pass, and even though I've bought a new mattress, the ghost of death is in our bed.
A male, 20 years of age, 168 centimeters, weight 72 kilograms, cadaveric rigidity diffused but not too intense. He absented from his friends without ever returning. A small blood-stained area behind the left ear. On the left side above the collarbone, an abrasion. Bones of the cranium were intact.
I am in the morgue, kissing the glass box. My feet begin to grow roots. Fall for, fall in, fall off, fall out, fall short. Blood bloomings on his leather jacket. Site of damage. Four trees down from Ponte Sisto. Can you burn blood? Can you cut it? Can you swim in it? There is a branch in his hand with leaves. It was spring. The sheets are white, fiercely white. Your broken body wrapped in white sheets. How I want to touch you. Touch. I shouldn't see this. I am drenched in sweat. Some other mother has washed your hair.
We testify the corpse was wearing the following clothes. 1. A leather jacket of brown color, which had a large tear in the area of the left sleeve, armpit, with a fragment of a leaf attached to it. 2. Pants of a jeans type, of a light gray color with small leaves and branches attached to them. 3. A white cotton shirt with thin gray and beige stripes without collar. It was a great trauma caused by a fall.
Why did they have to cut the clothing so much? He was already dead. I should not be seeing this. I don't want to see these shreds. Should I burn them? Brown leather wallet. The carabinieri took it from his pocket. Everything is there. American Express card, Social Security card, student ID card, Selective Service card, Indicazione di soggiorno per stranieri. Valid until 15 days after they found him dead. And this picture, this photograph where he looks like a man. Though when he arrived, he was still a boy. And here's a shopping list. Olive oil, garlic, 4 liters of wine, sausage, burro, pane, olive verde. And another list. This time, telephone numbers, friends. Andrea in Florence, Francesco at home, Livio in Roma. This wallet is a miniature museum of a dead boy who was becoming a man. I shouldn't be seeing it without the entrance fee. Have I paid? When our son fell to his death, only the night heard him. Here on the other side, I try to imagine what sound his body made, meeting the Roman earth with a sycamore branch in his hand. I think something, maybe a tree, must have grown into that sound where he lay weakening, dying, his blood seeding the ground. The police said there were 3 possibilities: an accident, suicide, or murder. There was no evidence for murder. So what about suicide? One of Jeff's friends told me he saw a show about suicides. How they take off their shoes first, like Jeff. He says he didn't want to tell me. But how could that be? Suicide? No way. Not then. Not in Rome. Cara mamma, spero che questo cartolina arrive in tempo. I hope this card arrives in time. Anche spero ai buongiorno della madre. And I hope you have a happy Mother's Day. Senza il tuo figlio, lo pensieri di tui. Without your son, who thinks of you. Devi tradurre questa cartolina prima di io ritorno. I hope this card arrives before I do. Salute con amore, to your health, with love. Jeff. That year, the year he died, I spent Mother's Day at the morgue. That year, and so many years since then, the room smells, phenol fumes, tobacco smoke. The walls used to be white, now they're grimy. But the sheets that wrap him are pure as baby swaddling. Another mother has bleached them and ironed them for me. He is under glass, a treasure. I am crooning to my child, my hands pressing their prints everywhere. His eyes are closing. He is sleeping so peacefully. The other mothers at this place of strange caring have washed his hair, pulled it back from his forehead. Soon he will wake and walk to me. I am glad they have covered him. I do not ask him to open his eyes. My hands no longer feel glass, but his soft skin. The baby body I was allowed to touch when he was mine. I hear sounds in the room. Perhaps they are coming from outside. Someone is screaming. My baby, my child, my baby, my child, my baby, my child. I try to climb on the box. The men are kind. They hold my hands. I want to hit them. The room is hot. I am holding the side of the box where his hand is, and my husband holds the other. Why is our boy in a box? A woman comes into the room, my mother. Why is her face so twisted? Oh, I know why. I know. It's Mother's Day, and my mother has caught her daughter naked in the act of making love. A young woman named Susanna was our guide through the tangle of papers, cabs, and choices. She barely spoke, but she was kind and very professional. She wore a stone-washed jean suit and smoked. Her blonde hair was black at the roots. Our clothes stuck to us in the Roman heat as we signed papers and made choices. Susanna asked, "What do you want him to wear?" We had already seen our boy wrapped in white sheets at the morgue, and they looked right somehow, a newborn's clothing. Susanna said, "No, we have to dress the dead." So we picked out a tie-dyed t-shirt, green Air Force pants, the blue and white button-down shirt from Brooks Brothers, an earring for his left ear. On the last day, we go to see him. Susanna drives us in her old Fiat, and there he lies, in the artificial silk, in the zinc-lined casket, fit for international transport. He looks like a swollen clown in the clothes we'd brought. We can't get the earring in. All around us, old Italian women moan and finger rosaries. They push against me in their need to mourn our son. Vattene, I say. Vattene. But they don't leave. Susanna has a smoke as they seal the rosewood casket and wheel it out to the funeral coach. His plane leaves tonight, and we will follow tomorrow.
A wooden French polished casket, fit for international transport. Zinc inner lining with artificial silk, brass handles, cross, and engraved plaque. Procuramento of all necessary documents, femoral and cavity treatment. First class funeral coach to the airport. Total, 1,777,000 lira. After all the mortician and airline bills have been received and paid, you will be sent an itemized accounting of final costs, and any balance will be refunded.
When I call about the cemetery plot, the priest wants to see the baptismal certificate. He has to see it, and it has to be the original. No burial on sacred ground without one. No exceptions. After the seller has inspected our deed, we are finally free to inspect the subdivision. I am wearing Jeff's Grateful Dead tie-dye t-shirt. My husband and a living son are in shorts. I like it here. No, here is better, we'd call out to each other in this macabre search. Torn between two plots, we finally decide he would be most at home by the shed where they dumped the dead gladiolas and browning Christmas wreaths near the open field. The day of the funeral. Like a bride, but a bride wearing a black dress. They want me to walk down the aisle with you in a box. I wash my hair. Sit wrapped in a towel. Someone finds me, says I have to come downstairs. The minister wants hymns. He says they make people feel better. I say, no hymns. My mother has a bloody nose outside the church. An old friend screams. Another friend wears a tweed jacket with a plastic pumpkin on the lapel. He pulls a little string. The pumpkin's mouth opens and grins. In the vestibule, there is no gravity. I start to float. Somebody grabs me, sits me in a chair, and prepares me to do what no mother should ever have to do.